Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to A Time for Justice. A Time for Justice is a show on the Elevated Places Network, and I would like to thank you all for tuning in to A Time for Justice. My name is Sister Pamela Muhammad, and I am an attorney and the host of A Time for Justice. Tonight's topic is the children are our future. Serving the needs of youth and families. And we have some really great hosts, special guests tonight. This show discusses legal and current events in a roundtable discussion of legal minds. A Time for Justice is a show where we discuss this country's centuries-long failure to apply, uphold, and enforce the laws, and the overall failure of the legal system to give justice, and the negative impacts these failures have had on Black people and their Black families. Ultimately, we want fair dealing. We want justice under the law. But all too often, this is not the actions that we see. So our guest tonight will not make those excuses for racist conduct, which is often seen, because this conduct is really just distracting us from the truth, which is the path to justice and equal protection. So let's talk about just, fair, and equitable solutions, which are in the best interest of the people. Let's remove the distractions. Again, tonight's topic is the children are our future, serving the needs of youth and families. And I'd like to go ahead and introduce our guests tonight and open up their mic. First of all, we have a sister by the name of Sister Mama Sonya. She is also known as Sonya Lucas Roberts, J.D. She is an edutainer. She is a playwright, motivational speaker. This sister is a wonderful storyteller with poetic expressions, and this is how she heals the young people and the families that she comes into contact with. She has worked in areas such as reentry, adoption, abstinence, abuse, self-esteem, HIV, AIDS, women's health, and her story. Sister Mama Sonya is a native of Third Ward in Houston, Texas, and she is a proud graduate of a high school, a very famous high school here by the name of Yates. She received a political science degree, BA from the University of Houston, and a Juris Doctorate from the University of Texas. She's been married for 36 years to her soulmate, Craig Roberts, and they are proud parents of a child by the name of Shanice Ade. And I want to go ahead and open up Sister Mama Sonya's mic and welcome her to our show. Sister Mama Sonya.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you so much. Thank you
yes,
so much.
Ma'am.
So glad
thank
to be
you.
Here.
Oh, thank you for joining us. We are so happy to have you joining us tonight. The next person I want to bring on, and this is a very first-time visitor to the show as well, and this sister, her name is Sister Sudan Muhammad. And Sister Sudan is a member of the Nation of Islam, and she is founder of Youth Creation, which is a community outreach magazine. And she started off by saying in her bio how we've all heard the saying, children are our future. And actually, I kind of borrowed this from her bio, our title, Because as this sister goes on to say that in a time of war, disease, destruction, this world leaves many of us with little hope of any decent future, praying to God with questions of how to survive. So this youth creation that she says started as a gifted group of siblings ranging from the ages of 3 to 20 years of age. And so she started it, I think, in 19. Well, let me just go on. Sister Sudan and her husband have actually took in children of crack-addicted parents. Sister Sudan, she began teaching these children basic subjects, math, science, English, Islamic studies. And she actually, they began calling her mom and dad. And, you know, as they left her home, Sister Sudan noticed that these children skipped grades. The children in the neighborhood always come to visit. Sister Sudan, as many people know, is a wonderful leader who helps to feed the homeless. She talks about how they joyously helped moms and dads package homemade bean soup sandwiches, snacks, and drinks. And really, those are her children she's talking about, because she made this into a family affair. And she said the name, I think, Youth Creation, was actually given by her eldest daughter, who stated, and I think this is very important, I want to make sure that we note this coming from a younger adult. She said that we, the youth, are the next generation, and it is about what we can do to better our future with proper guidance from elders. And she says, furthermore, with the assistance of everyone, both the youth and the elders, we may better our society one person at a time. And that's a quote from Sister Sudan's daughter, Indigo Blue. So let me go ahead and open up the mic for Sister Sudan Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Sudan.
It is an honor to be here.
Oh, the honor and privilege is ours. Thank you for taking your time to come on to the Elevated Places Network Presents A Time for Justice. So I have one more guest, and this is our sister, Sandera Mallory. And Sister Sandera is a counselor. She's a licensed counselor, and she's the owner of Mallory and Associates Counseling and Consultant. She brings to the table over 36 years of experience working through services, actually, at one time, retiring in May of 2013. Sister Sandera is, she's a, interests are that of social work and clinical practice and family counseling. And as I said, she's a licensed clinical social worker. And also, Sister Sandera is a member of many, many organizations, but one I want to really highlight is the National Association of Black Social Workers. This is a very wonderful organization that I'm familiar with because of their black-centered mindset in working with our children. She's also a member of an organization called CURE. And CURE deals, I know, mainly with mental health and, you know, healing circles. So that's what we want to bring to the table, as well as both ladies, Sister Mama Sonia and Sister Sandera, are with the Coalition for the Preservation of Black Families, which is an organization I work with. And if our other member, Sister Deborah, is out listening, we want to say, give her the greetings as well. So let me go ahead and open up Sister Sandera's microphone and welcome her to the show. Sister Sandera.
Yes, Hotep family. How is everyone this evening?
We are fine. Hotep, to you as well. And thank you again for joining us. And so let's just get right into the topic, because actually the topic, you know, as I've read it several times, the children are our future, serving the needs of youth and families. But really, it really is to be looked at the other way, because we have to serve the needs of youth and families, because the children are our future. You know, we have to serve these children. We have to serve these families. And so these sisters tonight some of the things we're going to talk about is what is it that they're seeing in the community that can help us pinpoint some of the needs. I know Sister Sudan, she actually works a lot in the community, and I promised that she was going to really bring some dynamic information to the table because of all she does. So one of the things I wanted to start off with is, you know, when we look at our families, we have to look at from the slave standpoint after the 400 years of slavery and persecution, over 400 years. And what popped into my mind was how there was a Virginia law that talks about how children inherited the status of the enslaved mother. Now, we know that that's wrong because we are the inheritors of God. You know, the Honorable Minister Farrakhan teaches us no nation can rise any higher than this woman. But this world wants to capitalize and target our families because our families are suffering from the remnants of slavery, the trauma that still hurts us. You know, we saw Ahmaud Arbery's mother in her pain with her child being shot down. We saw this Kim Potter, you know, get what is a slap on the wrist for actually murdering someone, and we saw the pain of his mom. And so we see this pain, and we see the trauma, and we see the drug addictions and things that our families are going through. So we really, I'm a lawyer, you know, really I got this idea because a lot of times by the time these families come to court, we oftentimes talk about how the system is really out to destroy black families and separate the families, you know, but we also want to look at what can we do to prevent from getting into this system, you know, what are the needs? And so one of the things I wanted to say, too, is there's a law called the best interest of the children, and everybody needs to be operating in what's best for the children. And so the children, we look at in law the child's desires, what are the child's present and future emotional and physical needs, the parental abilities of those who are in this child's life. And so that's what we kind of want to talk about tonight because we know our families are struggling right now, the economics, the stress. So let's talk about how we can help families. So I wanted to go ahead and open it up with you, Sister Sudan. And I wanted to ask you, tell us a little bit about your background and talk to us about the work that you do.
Well, Sister, humbly I want to say, you know, by the divine grace and unmatched mercy of Allah, the blessing of the study guide, self-improvement, the basis for community development has really helped me. It's a guide, it's an instruction. And I have to say, first, 1998, the blessing was Brother Sean's, I think it was Mars number 94, where we would get produce and fresh fruits and vegetables and just a lot of items at a low price at a food bank. So my husband and I, my family, when we would purchase these things, we had so much of it. There was an opportunity for us to go into our community, to go door to door and ask out the people in our community, do you need, I have extra orange juice or grape juice or extra bread, whatever, do you need any? That was the beginning of opening up a dialogue, finding out what was needed in our community. And from there, it grew to something that was so huge, I had no idea. I don't even think I was ready for it. Finding out what was needed in our community and giving people things and then talking to the parents. And when people trust you, they tell you things. Sister, I know we are all struggling, but let me just give one example without even being all over the place. There was a young lady who had two children, and she needed help. She was a young mother. She had no one to help her. And she was in the system, so she was getting stamps and everything, Section 8. So she was getting things from the system, but there was still something missing. So I would help her with her child. So this story right here, this one in particular, really touched me, and I knew that it was a deeper need. She asked me, she said, Sudan, Miss Muhammad, I can't anymore. I'm pregnant again with another child by the third father, a different man. I don't know what to do. So I said, listen, I said, I'm going to help you. I said, I'll help you. I said, give me 1 weekend. I was going away for the weekend, and I said, when I come back, I said, on Monday, I'll take your children. I didn't even charge her. I said, I'm going to help you because she really needed help. When I got back, sister, and I hate to even start it off like that, sis, but I found out that the young lady couldn't wait for someone, for me to come back. Someone else watched her child, and with one blow, they had struck that baby and killed that little baby. That devastated me. And I carried that. I felt so bad.
Yes, ma'am. I'm so sorry
like
to
I said,
hear
this
that.
Was the beginning. This was the beginning. I just have so many stories. You know, just like I said, when people, we will be, you'll be surprised to see who's studying us, who's watching us as women, the mothers in the community. There was a lady who was watching me and how I interacted with my children. And this woman asked me one time, and I hope I'm not all over the place, but I just want to say this. And she asked me one time, she said, could you watch my daughter while I run to the store? She said, I'm just going to the supermarket, which was right next door. We would live next door to a shopping center. And I said, sure, go ahead to the store. No problem. This woman came back 7 months later. I still had her daughter at the time because my daughter was being homeschooled at the time. And I would, in the morning, I would get up and still take her daughter to school and come back and deal with my child. I never called the police. I didn't do anything because I knew that that woman had a problem. And then to this day, that young lady who's now 33 years old, she calls me mom. Mm. And the grandmother to her child.
Yes,
so,
ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
I didn't go around to the question that you asked, but I just wanted to share with you a little bit just some of the stories how we got started in our community.
Yes, ma'am. Beautiful. Beautiful. Yes, ma'am. And you know what? To put it into a different context, because Sister Sudan has so many stories, you know, she and I were talking, and we were talking about how growing up, the concept of the auntie, the concept of the village, the concept of how people helped others who are in need of, and how that's so important that we, you know, really talk about that message tonight. So that's the perspective that we're coming from tonight. And I think, you know, also Sister Sudan, you know, her program in terms of helping people, can you give us a little just broad information on the numbers of people that maybe you've helped feed, the numbers of times you may go out and help the hungry and the homeless, just to kind of give us the concept of your life's work, sis, because it's beautiful.
Oh, yes, ma'am. I just humbly wanted to say at first, you know, we started with serving, you know, sharing what we had in the community, which opened up a door to finding out what the children and the community needed. I found out that a lot of the younger girls in our community, they were unkept. Hygiene, hair. I am a licensed cosmetologist. So we started not only teaching hair classes, one of the programs we had, because you have to find out what's needed. And if you can't fill those needs, started networking with other people to find out what they can do and what can you bring to the community, because in our community we didn't have programs like that free of charge for our people. They didn't have that. You had to go outside where we were, you know, outside of where we lived. So we started teaching hair classes for free. We went to the community library. We asked if we could use one of the rooms. We wanted to find out how much it was. So we started teaching classes. Those classes were so productive and so busy that we had to have little breakout sessions where We would give like 4 weeks, four classes, maybe about a month, and then we would have to bring in new students. New students would come in. That was very productive because some of them didn't have money to go to school. They didn't think they could. Here's another one. My daughter's a harpist. Harp lessons are very expensive, $1 per minute, $60 an hour for harp lessons. So my daughter, okay. Of course, they had to learn to play the piano in order to play the harp. So once my children and I paid, my husband and I, and we paid for these lessons, we would go back to the community and start teaching music lessons for free of charge to the people. Mm. Not just piano lessons, but harp lessons. Then that grew into something where my children, by the divine grace of Allah, were able to, for 3 years, they play in emergency room at Children's Hospital in Washington, D.C., where the director of the hospital said they were allowed to fight in emergency room, mainly on Wednesdays during these days clinic. So my daughters, they were the first ones to start. They were the ones that started with the, they called it, they would just play the harp in the ER. And it was so soothing to the people that.
No, go right
ahead. So I'm sorry. It was so soothing to the people that we was only supposed to do this just on Wednesdays. We were going to do it for maybe a month. We wound up doing this for 3 years. Then another extended program for the people. We found out and we started studying bedside harp. And see, you have to have money for someone to come into your hospital room and play for you. So we found out about that. So those, our people who didn't have the money, free of charge. If someone was sick, we would go into the hospital rooms. We would play for them. We would play my daughters, not my, you know, myself, my daughters. They would play for patients that were dying and who had cancer, who were transitioning out of this life, and they would be sitting next to them for them. So
That's right.
Is just some of the services that I think a lot that he blessed us to, you know, be able to present to our people, again, free of charge, just because I think that's what we're supposed to do. It's not about money all the time.
Yes, ma'am. That's right. Beautiful, beautiful. Okay. You know, and again, we're talking about tonight what we've been taught by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan about making our communities decent and safe places to live. Because I know we, with our Coalition for the Preservation of Black Families, that's something that we've tried to do, work in the community and give some free services and to try to aid those who needed help from going into these systems. So let's talk to Sister Mama Sonia. I want to go ahead and open up your mic and tell us about your perspective. What have you been doing in this area for years?
Well, I wanted to open up with a short poem, which is what I believe in using creativity with our scholars, and I don't call them our children or our students, they're our scholars. The song says, I believe that children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Yet our children are not only our future, but the promise of the past and the reason for today. We preach about the best interests of the child, ask the question, how to turn those tears into a smile. Yet what are we doing to save the children? They see so much, hear so much, feel so much, taste so much, and sometimes all they need is a tender touch. They get caught up in our adult madness, causing them to experience so much sadness. The adults self-medicate and live life from their own childhood pains, creating a legacy that repeats itself again and again. We preach about the best interests of the child, ask the question, how to turn those tears into a smile. What are we doing to save the children? Conflict in families from divorce, troubles, parent-child relationships, violence against the community, violence within the community. Is this a lasting legacy? Our mothers need support and healing from hurt, grief, harm, sometimes just an embrace from loving arms. We speak loudly about the best interests of the child, yet we ask the question, how can we turn those tears into a smile? What are we doing to save the children? Our babies, children, our community, our mamas, sisters, daddies, brothers, uncles, cousins all need a dose of them. You know, aunties, mom and them, our connection to God above. We will not give up, go out, or lose hope because we are a strong community who has, is, and will prevail because of who we are. We will not let those who do not acknowledge the greatness that we are. They know that if they destroy our children, they are destroying God's greatest gift from above, an earthly manifestation of his love. So as we preach about the best interest of the child and ask the question, how do we turn those tears into a smile? We need to do what we have done in days gone by. Remember when all we had was each other. Lean on one another. Draw upon our inner community strength, never giving up again or going out. And we will save the children. Ashe, ashe,
ashe,
and amen.
Ashe, ashe,
and that's what I do. I've been using theater, using the art to help heal the community. Our children in schools, now, you know, they have what's the STEM program. I love the STEM program, but that A, we need that STEAM. We need the A, the arts, to keep our children moving. I've worked, I've done support groups with children in the schools, oh, for years and years. And many times, children who couldn't articulate what was going on at home, articulate their pain. I've done this in children's church. I've done this whenever I work with children. You can use, give them a crayon, give them a microphone, give them some paper and scissors, give them some glue. Through these vehicles, children can begin to express who they are. And once they know who they are, they'll know whose they are, and then they can become our scholars can become what God meant them to be. And that's where I see, you know, I've been doing this for so long. I work with children and even adults coming out of the, those who've been involved with drugs. And, you know, so now I know no one on this line, you know, believes this, but so many times we tend to throw stones and, oh, they're nothing but a drug addict. Da, da, da. But many times, if you're using drugs, you're just self-medicating. You're medicating that pain that you can't get out of, which you can get out of. Then you have children, then your children's children, till it continues to go. So I think, you know, when I heard what the sister said about the harp, sister, I had tears in my eyes. I thought that it's, I mean, I could just see children sitting in D.C. playing the harp in the ER. I mean, that is so, and I thank you for that. I mean, you know, my sister died of cancer in D.C. And I just thank you for that because they gave me some comfort knowing that, and I'm sorry, but no, I'm not sorry for crying because that just touched my heart so much. Again, the arts are where it's, pardon my incorrect English, the arts are where it's at.
Yes, ma'am. Beautiful. Praise be to Allah. Thank you so much for that, Sister Mama Sonia. Go ahead and so I think Sister Sandera just dropped off, so we're going to go back and come back to her because I see her line dropped off. But, you know, as we're talking about this topic with parents and we really talk about the best interests of children, but we see so much conflict in between one another, so much conflict in our community. And this is something that I wanted to address because in the courts, oftentimes we're having to let our families know, communicate properly. Don't bicker in court. You know, learn how to really not put your child in that type of trauma where they're having to have people outside of the community come in mm-hmm. and they're going to make things worse. You know, these white people, I think we talked mm-hmm. about how integration and all these mm-hmm. so-called experts or all these so-called service providers who are coming into our community and they're making problems worse. And so mm-hmm. this is something that we want to take control of, making sure that we're properly being aunties and caretakers to our community. Mm-hmm. So I think Sister Sandera is back because she's been seeing a lot of the trauma that is being, you know, coming out now as a result of us being in the house, as a result of the home, you know, the joblessness, the homelessness, the economic issues. And so what is it, Sister Sandera, that you want to talk to us about? Are you back on the line, ma'am?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me well? Good evening again.
I can, yes, ma'am.
Good evening again, Hotep, and peace and blessings to everyone. I have been listening, and my heart has been full with just knowing how strong our community continues to be, because we have angels and those belief systems in our families here on this line tonight. So I just wanted to acknowledge, I could feel the joy and the love that each one of you all give to our people. So when I think of the best interest of families, we start off with looking at how can we advocate for these, least of these. And we both have talked about that as being part of what we see in our communities. We want to always seek the higher being and the higher God in all of our people. And I think that's what we strive to do. And just showing a little bit of love, a little bit of grace, and just taking pieces of ourselves and giving it back to our families. So what I think of is helping my community get to that level of wellness, getting to that level of well-being. And I think that's what we all are doing in our various ways. And I just really honor that in everybody that I'm listening to. But when I think of traumas, and a lot of our families continue to go through that each and every day, I think of many of them who still show levels of fear and shock and anxiety for their futures. They have difficulties making decisions or concentrating. They are emotionally numb from time to time, and we can see them because we talked earlier about having to self-medicate because they are so numb and so disconnected. Many are still having nightmares and reoccurring thoughts about whatever event has touched them and has traumatized their world. They may show irritability, they may show anger, they have a level of sadness and depression from time to time, they feel that mm-hmm. sense of powerlessness. So we really want to help our families move from those areas of physical pain that they may, or emotional pain that they may be bringing and feeling from time to time, to the point that we will help them get to a point of wholeness. So what we try to do is help them build an opportunity and features of coping. And how do we go about doing that? I am a licensed clinical social worker, and I normally do healing circles, as Sister Pam talked about earlier, or we may do individual activities, what we call one-on-one. But what I'd like to kind of leave with us a little bit as we kind of go through this conversation is how can we help our families learn to cope and to build these kind of skills so that they can be internally self-controlled and not look for the outside world to really help them or meet their needs. So what we often try to look at is how we help them look at coping. And we tell them to go internally and look at taking one thing at a time, one day at a time, and try mm-hmm. to stay in the here and now. So many of our families continue to live in the past or to continue to stay in that level of pain. So we ask them to just go with where you are. Stay in the here and the now. Connect with friends. connect with people who are like-minded that have some of the same interests. And that's part of what we think of as we help them build their self-esteem. And if you're around like-minded people, you're going to hopefully get some of the same positiveness that you give out. So we ask you to practice some self-care. What does that look like? Mm. We want you to eat well. And Sister Pam, you could always talk about how the minister talks about eating well and cooking and the things we put in and out of our bodies and why we should and should not do this. So if we do have a lot of salts and sugars, we need to dispense with all of that. Y'all know that. So we need to think about
right.
eating well and teaching our children how to eat well, how to keep a hygiene system about themselves, shower daily, and relaxing and taking rest. Just sleeping is not always taking rest. We just sometimes need to just get quiet and rest. Mm-hmm. So if you need to, sometimes just go outside. We may not have exercise machines and some of these activities of going to the spa and this and other. Just go outside. Breathe
mm-hmm.
in God's
mm-hmm.
Air and some of the things that he has given to us that help us maintain our bodies. But, of course, avoiding alcohol and drugs is definitely one of the factors that we look at and preach. And sometimes we need to just sit down, as I mentioned, resting and praying. Please take moments, ladies and families, to meditate, to teach your children how to meditate and how to pray so that you can help them understand how grateful they are and should be for the little things that they're getting. Be sure we are keeping our families and our communities safe and secure by cooking and cleaning and washing and sweeping, organizing as we begin to do for our families internally. And as we end, I tell people to laugh, to joke, to play games, to exercise, to listen to music, and to dance, even if it's the music that's in your head. So, Ashe.
Yes, I'd like to piggyback on that. You know, when I was talking about the arts, you know, for families, get you some colors and sit down and have a coloring session. Don't worry about coloring inside the lines. It doesn't matter. Sit down and play some games with one another. Do some role play. Do some karaoke. You know, get your hairbrush. Us old folks know we used to use a hairbrush as our microphone, and we would sing and dance all over the place, dance with one another. That's just another way of just connecting with family.
Yes, I say.
I wish I could do the harp, Sister Sudan. I would love to be able to do some of the classical things that are
yes.
out there. But something as simple as just listening to music on the radio or just listening to orchestra where you can. I think they are wonderful ways to heal.
Yes, ma'am. And so, I really want to take a different look at this conversation as well, because we know many of our people are incarcerated or have one
mm-hmm.
parent who's incarcerated. We know our people are in poverty in the sense that this is the economic status of black people right now. You've got the middle class is just totally disappearing in a lot of ways. And so we know in the nation, this is why we talk about separation. And I do have to say that this is the week of Savior's Day. So we thank Allah for the coming of Master Farah Muhammad to give us the teaching and understanding of how we are in a really crucial time, and that, mm-hmm. you know, the minister gives us the time and what must be done, because many of our families, and you know, right before, I think, last Savior's Day, 2019, we had a seminar on sex trafficking, because there has come a time when these crimes, which used to be the drug dealing, and now you're seeing more people being involved with sex crimes and sex trafficking, and girls at a very young age who are going out to try to make money. And then we see the influence of the media, you know, encouraging mm-hmm. young women that this is some way. And this is a very, very dangerous time. Mm-hmm. So I think, Sister Sudan, can you share any of what you know about some of this for us, please? In the sense of what you're seeing with the families or the people in D.C.
Well, I want to share this because you hit it. It's normalized now. And what's normal is I was looking at, it's a show on HBO, supposed to be a number one show called Euphoria. And they were literally teaching the girls how to sex, how to exploit themselves. The girls set up a camera in her room, and they were sending her money via Cash App or some other, I think it was PayPal some way. And I said, wow. I said, look at how they're showing these girls this. But I was sick of sex trafficking because I live in the DMV. I live in Maryland, Temple Hills. And one of the major streets is called Branch Avenue. Branch Avenue, there's an island in between the malls. There's the Iverson Mall. That's a very well-known mall. But they put a flyer up. They didn't even hide it. And the flyer had a number there that was saying if you want to, this guy was looking for exotic dancers. Okay. So I'm like, okay. People looking at this and it's normal. I went and took it down. Not only did I take it down, I stood in front of the sign and did a video about it saying, look at this. In our community, so I started talking to some of the young girls, the younger women in my community. They said, well, Miss Muhammad, everybody's stripping now. And we prostitute and we sell ourselves. This is how we make money. One young lady told me, she said, look, Miss Muhammad, I made $1,500 on Friday night. I made $1,500 Saturday. And Sunday, I made $2,400. And I'm like, okay. All right. I'm listening now. Do you really want to do this? And so you start talking to these young women, and then they start telling you how their mothers, the mothers in the community are the pimps. Mom is pimping their daughter. Dad is pimping their daughter. In the house. Wow. How do you feel about this? Miss Muhammad, I don't want to do it, but I've been doing it so long. What else can I do? Then I started talking to some of the guys in my community, well, in D.C., because at one point there were a lot of women. It was a big sex trafficking rally before COVID because so many people, women, were missing. Okay, and one of the guys told me, he said, look, don't videotape me. He said, but I'm going to tell you something. I sell drugs, and I'll do more time selling drugs than trafficking some women. So this is what we do. We get them high off drugs, we get them hooked, and we sell them. We put them in a room. Some of them escape, and some of them come back. This is what they told me. It's so normal in my community. That there was a Caucasian guy who would walk around with boys. These boys were scared. I asked one of the black men while I was standing there. I said, I know you see what I'm saying. Are you going to say anything? He said, Miss Muhammad, mind your M and F in business. Long as your children fine, then don't worry about it. I said, these are all our children. Are you serious? It took me and a black woman to say something. I go to sex trafficking rallies again before COVID. You know who's there? Grandmom, auntie. You barely see any black men there.
The homeless women
I talk to, see, I'm full, but the homeless women I talk to, a woman just told me, I was serving her, and you know I was serving. How you doing? You okay to talk to me? She said, Ms. Muhammad, I got raped Saturday. She said, right up under the bridge. And I told the police officer, this guy right here, he just raped me. She said, the cop looked at me and said, nobody would touch you. You nasty.
My Lord.
Totally invalidated her.
My Lord.
I have told sisters, one woman was talking to me. She came to my house. Young lady told me she got raped. I said, I'll go with you to the doctors. I said, I'll go with you to the ER. She was like, her self-esteem was so low, she blamed herself. She said, it's my fault. When you talk about destroyed as a woman, our women are so destroyed, they think it's their fault.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And see, this self-esteem issue, I'm glad you brought this up. And anyone who is listening, please, if you would like to get in the host queue and make a comment or ask a question, please press the number 1 and you can ask a comment or make a question. Because we talked earlier about self-esteem and, you know, at some of its lowest problems is leading into prostitution and sex trafficking. But I think we're seeing the self-esteem issue with mothers sometimes being battered in these courtrooms. Sometimes we're seeing it with them not having money to, you know, just take care of children. And they need support. That's the point. And I think earlier, Sister Sudan, you mentioned how the poor sister, Miss America, who took her life, there was some comment about the getting older and feeling like you're not valued and versus how we have to teach our young people that your value does, and, you know, it increases. It doesn't diminish. You know, I mean, and it can't stay the same, but we all have value. And this is why we're reaching across the table. We as the aunties tonight, we as the service providers tonight, having this conversation about how we can make our communities decent and safe places to live. So thank you so much for that. You know, because I want to throw this out here. It is a legal show. So, you know, again, when we look at this experience we had with slavery, being enslaved, being tortured, being taken all of our rights, dehumanized, you know, along with we didn't have the right to have custody of our own children. We didn't have the right to keep our families together. We didn't have the right to control our own bodies, let alone our children's lives and upbringing and making decisions. And so we feel, I think sometimes we see the residual of that. We see what they call the post-traumatic syndrome, where we still stand by and don't follow what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has given us as a solution, and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, you know, and again, this is what we believe. But I know you, Sister Sandera, and you, Mama Sonia, sometimes you'll sit down with us at the local organizing committee meetings or as a coalition, and you have your face, I have mine, but we can work together to help the community. And so this is what we're talking about tonight. Does anybody else want to add anything to this issue?
Well, we're all one community, you know.
Yes, right.
When our children are sex trafficked, and I do work with a group in Houston where we try to educate the religious community on sex trafficking and just these people in our community, because, oh, no, that doesn't happen in my community. It's not just those people over there. And this is what we hear from black folks. It's everywhere. And we have to, we are all in the same community. I mean, you know. My thing is, you know, I believe I'm going to God one way, you're going to God one way. It's like we all going to, let's say we need to go to New York, right? Some may want to go up the East Coast, some may want to go up the middle, some may want to go up Canada and come down. We all going to get to New York, but we all going to get to God however way, you know, we decide to go. So for I think that's why it's so important to have interfaith work, because at the end of the day, that sex trafficker, that pimp, it's not going to say, oh, excuse me, are you Christian? You Muslim?
Right.
Are you Buddhist?
You're
They're
black.
Not going to do that. Yeah, you black. And when them, when
you're
them
black.
White folks out there are coming to us, they don't see us individually. They just see us as the end. And they
least
just, to
the
end.
Least to the end, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, you speak a lot about the traumas that our families have been experienced to, and you know, we work with, again, with the healing circle, and we often are trying to help our families get to a level of sameness and back to a place that we feel that will help them start looking at making their communities and their homes decent places to live and to be. And so it starts with us. And I'm so very proud and very pleased that you continue to push this agenda, Sister Pam, about how we can help our children, how we can help our families, how we can continue to meet the needs of a lot of our families who continue to stay in this level of a traumatized state, doing all kinds of things that impact them so they never get to that sense of wellness and that sense of wholeness.
Yes,
if you stay into the negative mindset and it's a negative behavior, then you can never feel any level, I feel, of contentment and peace and productivity. Mm. So that's what I'd like to see us push our children forward, because they are our future. There's no way we can get around that. We need to be elevating our children so that they can be that next generation that can take care of our elderly, which we will become, and help take care of those around us who are not able to get to that next level. So I keep thinking that we can meet that challenge by all of us doing bits and pieces. You know, it doesn't have to be a whole bit. If everybody does a little bit, we can get to the point that we can produce a wholeness. And that's what our whole agenda is about, is helping our families get back to some level of esteem and wholeness.
Yes, ma'am. No, that's beautiful. Praises be to Allah. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you so much for your help, because I know earlier we were talking about Sister Mama Sonya. I know you come from a community that was a black community that was took care of its own needs, had a sense of pride, you know, and so oftentimes we are looking outside of our community for somebody else to solve our problems when we know that this enemy has proven that he is not our friend. So that's one issue. And the other thing I wanted to throw out there, go ahead, Sister Sandera.
No, I was just laughing. He's not our friend. He is not there to look out for the well-being of our community. So I definitely will to highlight that. And I think we need to go back to the basics of helping us see the strength each one of our families, and not always look at the negative, as we may want to say. We talked about, and some people believe and some people don't, that segregation was one of the worst things that ever could have happened to the black community. All we wanted was the resources. We didn't want all that stuff that they were bringing with them. We just wanted the resources and the same level of benefits and sources that they had, not all that drama and all that negativism that they bring. So that is definitely what we have gained by trying to open up to the level of integration that this world thinks is such an ideal utopia. I think having our own is better, if you ask me. And if we just had that sense of wholeness and wellness in our own communities, we would be just fine.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead, Sister Sudan. Yes.
I love what the sister just said, because we need this in our community. I actually go to other healing groups so I can learn, and I study. So I went to this group. And D.C., I'm not even going to give the name of it because it's a major group. And I'm studying them. And I'm studying the rules of engagement and how they study colors and sound and the things that they do. But after the 6 weeks that I was there, I noticed that they were on some. And I don't mean to be disrespectful in your show because it was a woman's group. But they were trying to get me to go see some stuff called a vagina monologue where this woman was reading poetry naked. I don't want to be a part of that.
Right.
Because
right.
I see
you
had another agenda. I don't want to be a part of that. So how can I send somebody to that kind of group knowing
what
y'all doing?
Sudan, what kind of group was it again?
It was a healing group. And I don't want to say the name because it's a major.
Okay.
If I say the name, you know, it's a major group, $1 million
All
group.
Right.
And I wanted to study what they were doing because I study groups so I can bring it back to my community.
Right.
So, and Sister Pamela, and I don't know if you all are familiar with, you know, the Dianetics but I want to say something about that as a course that I was taking called self-analysis. And there was a young lady recently, she's a teenager, she was so depressed she wanted to take her life.
Yeah.
So I engaged her like this. And I asked, I said, you know, I was just talking to her because she was real down, and I said, can you recall the time that you were happy? And she started in the questions. I said, can you recall the time that life was cheerful? Can you recall the time that somebody had given you something? And then I said, can you recall the time you ate something good? So I started asking, and she was like, no, ask me some more questions. This is fun. I said, look at that.
Simple.
And I think what you're saying, as you're saying, you're studying the different groups and you bring back what works for us.
Yes.
And I agree so much, because now this is a stat I want to throw out here. Families need support. And so they're saying that moms, and this was before the pandemic, but let's say a single parent, a mom might work the equivalent of 2.5 full-time jobs. The study showed maybe around, you know, 98 hours a week. And that would have definitely probably been before the pandemic. This is when you worked at the fast food restaurant, and then maybe you had to run over to the hotel, or you had to, you know, or maybe you're just, look, a lawyer like me, who my children say, you know, you've been working those hours too. But the question would be, who is minding the children? And so
minding,
I think one of the things that Sudan just mentioned, people, women need attention. These mothers, they're seeking help. You know, like Sister Dan mentioned about maybe someone needed a babysitter, and I've had that experience before as well. You know, so this is really, I think, a very important conversation. Does anyone on the line, if you have a question or a comment, please press the number 1 to get into the host queue. Yes. So, again, we talk about the support systems, and, again, with the grief and conflict, I'm going to go ahead and throw it out here, because as an attorney, a lot of times with the divorces and the child custodies, and we'll talk about child custodies because we can actually say that maybe the people weren't married, maybe the relationship wasn't as permanent as it should have been. But when it comes down to the children, you got to look at the long-term harm to the children when parents bicker in court. You got to look at the fact that you don't bash the other parent. You know, you have to look at how encouraging family relationships with children at all costs. You know, I'm looking at some of these high-profile divorces that we see in the news right now, and you would have to think of what kind of long-term damage is this possibly going to cause some of the children, you know, to see the parents bickering, you know. But I will say that women, and because this is what we were talking about, you know, women have such the important role to rise up and be decent women and to be respectful women. And to, you know, and to really make sure that they are the models for their children, because, Sister Dan, what do we say? The mother is the first nurturer, the first teacher of a child. So, you know, we have to look at some of the responsibility being put on the mom. So we do have a comment from a sister. Let me take her call, Sister Mavis. Sister Mavis, let's see. Open up your mic. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Mavis. How are you?
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Pam. I'm well by the grace of Allah, and thank you for asking.
Thank you to Allah. Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted
to. Thank you for calling.
Yes, ma'am. I definitely wanted to call. And first and foremost, thank all your guests that are on the show, because they all have provided such critical information regarding the care and of our children, and really the care of our future, because our children are our future. Thank you all so much for the conversation. You know, Allah knows exactly where to place his message, and these messages are timely. And I think that the time for this conversation is now more than ever. It's needed before now, but now it's critical because we know the enemy is after our youth. Everything that you ladies, you sisters have contributed has been very eye-opening and important for our youth to understand. I am a licensed chemical dependency counselor by profession, and anger resolution therapist, and, mental health professional. And I just recently completed an assignment at the Harris County Jail with the Harris County Sheriff's Office. I was working at the substance abuse program that they have in there. And mind you, as long as the Harris County Jail has been open, the substance abuse program is only 3 years old. Being in that environment, well, first of all, I checked with the law. I said, you sure this is where you want me to work? And he gave me so many indications and confirmations that that was exactly where I was supposed to be. And when you were talking about the women, our girls, the females, I had opportunities by the grace of Allah to pass on some of the teachings about the importance of the woman, the value of a woman, because so many of them, as you all had said, suffer from low self-esteem, have been in the criminal justice system for years, and some were looking for an absolute solution to stay out of it. And so I did what Allah allowed me to do, and I had some successes. I had some wins, and shared some Dianetics, the self-analysis course. I forget which sister, whoever brought that up, that was one of the most self-motivating courses that I have taken in Dianetics. And so I would pass on as much as I could to them and encourage them to apply it to their lives, because what I would share with them is that I'm bringing you information, I'm answering your questions, and I want to encourage you to apply it to your life. Because information without application is simply information. And so encouraging them to apply it was, I believe, part of my assignment. And when y'all talked about the trafficking, I remember I was working in an outpatient program providing services to young men that were on probation. And I had one in the class, in the group, and he always came to class looking so sharp with his jeans starched and jewelry. And finally one day I asked him, I said, because he hadn't been long, got out of jail. I said, how are you getting all this stuff? He said, Miss Jackson, because my name was Jackson at the time. He said, pimping is alive and well on the internet. And I looked, I'm like, really? Okay. So, I tell them all the time, I would tell them, you educate me just as much as I educate you. Mm-hmm. Because you're out there and you bring that information to me. And so, it's so disheartening to hear the stories about the young ladies that believe that is how they have to earn money, and then those that take advantage of them. So that's another conversation that I think will have to be had at many times. And lastly, the part about getting rid of that religious division, that I think is critical. Because I have invited just about because I was raised in the church as a Christian, and I became a registered member in Islam 6 years ago. And people ask me, when one of my grandchildren asked me, What made you decide to practice Islam? And the only explanation, the best explanation I can give is that it just makes more sense to me. When I look at it and think about it, it just makes more sense. But that division was intentional. We do know that. It was intentionally placed there because they don't want us to come together. But we, I believe, can overcome that division and come together. And in that way, that's the first thing we have to do in order for us to help our youth and our community. So thank you so much for this conversation, Sister Pamela. I am thoroughly enjoying it and just wanted to call and share those bits of my story with you all.
Oh, praises be to Allah. Thank you so much, Sister, for calling, and we appreciate you, Sister Mavis. Please call in again. Because, I wanted to say, as we talk about the sex trafficking part, I think one of the important things that we as older women bring to the table is that we know the dangers, we know the outcomes, we know the death styles that sometimes when people are younger, they haven't lived long enough to see. And that was something that I benefited from as a child. You know, we saw that crime didn't pay. You know, we saw that people who do crimes, you end up in time, playing the time, you lose your families. You know, drug addicts, you know, sometimes you see overdoses, you see them lose, you know, heart, just all kinds of negative impacts. And this is important that we pass along, Sister Mama Sonya, like that poem you had at the beginning, we pass along that oral history, you know, letting them know the dangers. And I think this is why rap music was so dangerous when our brothers were teaching about the jungle. It's like a jungle out there, you know. It makes me wonder, you know, because they were warning and telling the truth about what was going on in the street. So, yes, ma'am, Sister Mavis, thank you so much for that call.
Okay,
if you're anybody
welcome.
Else,
thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. Yeah, and I think we had this call. Sister Marguerite is on the line. Sister Marguerite, as-salamu alaykum.
Yes, ma'am. Walaikum salam. And to all your guests, it's just a wonderful, wonderful talk that you're doing on and about our sisters. It's very heart-wrenching, you know, to know what is going on with our women. But we know that, you know, Allah has a plan for us. And one of the things that when I was doing classes in domestic violence and all these other statistics that we were given, it showed that the sexual assault against women went up as soon as they took our clothes off. And when the women began to take the clothes off, this is where this comes out and begins to increase. And one thing that, you know, the scriptures say the law is for the wicked, it's not for the righteous. So when you have laws, you know, it is for the woman, it's to protect you. When you have a righteous law, it's for the protection of the woman. And they have just made us partners in crime, in other words, with them, this devil, as they strip our clothes off. And I remember that, you remember when hot pants and mini skirts and all of that, and midi skirts came out, I thought about it, and I said, you know what, I never did get in a mini skirt. I like the midi, you know, when they drop the dress down to the knees. And stuff. I like that midi style. And so that's what I always went with and was acutely aware of needing to be modest, because I grew up in a house, there were seven males in my house. So my father had us where, you know, you didn't even come out your bedroom unless you were fully dressed. You
That's
know, just
right.
Certain things you just did not do. And so when we go to like my sister's house, when her girls were small, we're in her house and my husband dictating, no, you need to go put some clothes on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and getting on the parent, why you let your daughters walk around you like that?
Right.
You know, so we have to we have to take a stand, and even though it may not be in my house, I'm going to say something to you if you're dressed inappropriately in front of me. And as older women, we have that responsibility. And they and on that note, when you say about older women, I have gone places with my husband and just sat back and watched because he DJs as a hobby. And just watched the people and watched the women. And I have seen some of these older women dress like they were 20-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just amazing to see. I'm like, girl, you need to cover that, and you need to cover that, and you need to cover all that, because it is not appropriate at your age to dress like you 20 years old. So
mm-hmm.
we have lost a lot, you know, and we have to get all that back. And it's only, unfortunately, a spanking from Almighty God Allah that's going to wake a lot of us up.
Yes, ma'am. Great point. And you know, Sister Marguerite, I want to say, you know, but, and it's something that Sister Sudan brought out. When we talk about the disrespect of our bodies, we can go all the way back to slavery and look at the raping of white men in these plantations.
Yeah.
Sister Sudan, she did a really very good video that she'll take some of the slave things from movies and show the raping and, you know, then show it with the current. What's going on, because the mindset I think you were hinting at when you said you went to some healing circle and they were bringing out some lewd behavior, you know, they try to make our women feel like that's something you're being free, these young girls, because you can do whatever you want to with your body and give it to whoever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, no, they've been raping us since they brought us here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we didn't have control. We didn't have control over our bodies when they brought us here. So the fact that now, you know, we're in that same cycle where you do what the fashions tell you, or you don't have the self-esteem. So all these lewd fashions, you know, make you think that makes you cool, you know, or you're lonely. So you're having sex with this one or that one. And, you know, and all of that just leads to death. So I totally agree with you, Sister Marguerite. I just wanted to take it all the way back to slavery, because this is where we first saw this this treatment by this enemy. So thank you so much. Did you have anything else you want to add, sis?
Oh, no. Okay. I'm really enjoying the points that you all are making. Really enjoying.
Praise it due to Allah. Thank you. Thank
you,
ma'am. As-salamu alaykum. So did anyone else
something?
Go ahead. Go right ahead, Sister
I have to share this. And this time, 2022, this generation is face-to-face with Satan. I had a conversation with a younger person, and I told them when I was coming up, I was watching Sanford and Son. And I remember when Fred and Donna even kissed, the audience said, ooh. You know, where you didn't see that even more. So now they are face to face with Satan. So because of that, it's a psychological war. So how do you reach the children without putting them down? Because you want to see, you don't want to break. You have in Dianetics, it's called ARC, Affinity Reality Communication. If you break the reality with them, or you have to be careful how you come at them, because you'll lose them. You don't want to lose them. So this is what I did one time. I had a group of children, girls, and I prepared a beautiful meal for them. And I said, we're going to have movie night. Movie night was say goodbye to Uncle Tom. When they saw that movie and they saw the effects of slavery, the way that movie was put together, that movie has been banned in America. I had to share with some of the roots. They didn't know what we went through with. So now you see, okay, look how they degraded us. Look how they took on our foes. Even Dr. Joyce, the psychological slave trauma, she did that in 2008. It's prevalent today. So now people watching it, now they can say, let people come to their own conclusion. Oh, I get it. I understand now. And so now I have to produce empathy with the younger generation where I'll ask them questions. Well, I mean, we go out and they dress a certain way. They may not like the attention that they're getting because I'll go out with other young ladies who dress more appropriate, and then they're watching. So now they notice the attention that they're getting. They don't like it. So now you see them pull their skirt down a little bit. Now they feel uncomfortable. Now one young lady had on a half shirt. She took her shirt off. I mean, her jeans was tight, excuse me. She had a bigger top on, took it off, and wrapped it around her waist. I didn't say anything. She wanted to cover up. That's how sometimes you have to leave, sit back, because it is a psychological war. I don't want to lose you, so I have to be careful how I handle you, because I don't want to lose you.
Yes, ma'am.
So I just,
no, that's right.
I had to say that.
And, you know, Brother Ishmael on the Sunday lecture, because he's been lecturing a lot about the struggles that our young people are going through and that we're going through. And one of the things he talked about is listening to people without being judgmental, listening to your child. But I think the key is that the communication, communicating, having that open ear, being available. You know, on the broader level, I heard Sister Minister Ava speaking this morning or earlier in the afternoon. She was on a local show in Chicago talking about Savior's Day. And everyone, please remember, the minister will be speaking on Sunday, and we'll come back to that. But she was making the point about the positive things that we can do and that the teachings that the minister has taught us, and that's to stay in your communities, you know, work in your communities, build our communities. And, you know, this whole thing about integration, it took you way across town. And so in people who live in the inner cities, they don't have the positive, potentially, teachers that may teach them something that they didn't know, you know. You know, and so then the separation of the parents and the children. This is something we usually talk about, this topic. We always talk about how the enemy targets our families and takes the children from the mama, you know, put the children in CPS, and then 75% of them go to prison when they become older. We always talk about it from that standpoint, but we also got to talk about it from the fact that we can't separate our own selves from our children by, like you say, Sister Sudan, by just totally Xing ourselves out, by always being so critical, you know, or just being at work all the time, or just not being mentally there. You know, we are the mothers, and we need to be there for our children. So that was, I know I just kind of rambled on that, but I wanted to put that out. Because with you, Mama Sonya, you know, we had talked earlier about how you grew up in this wonderful community that was, you know, black, predominantly black, in the black high school. And so often, and I'm put her out there, y'all, so often she talks about her wonderful husband who she married. I think she met him as a very young woman, and they've been married. And, you know, these are the benefits of when times we live together and we, you know, we're decent people, because that can be a heaven. You know, that's a heaven for you, not to take on the ways of this enemy that we call him when we see all this freakishness just paraded all on the news and leading to prostitution and death and all of that. So anyway, we're down to really the last part of this show, because, again, we wanted to talk about how our future, but the thing is, we've got to serve the needs of youth and families in order to make sure that we have Allah's mercy, you know, because we know that Allah is not going to allow black people to be destroyed, you know, but for those of us who want to see the hereafter, it gives us great joy to see our children happy, to see our children thriving. I know Sister Mavis, you know, she has two, she has several wonderful children, but two of them, we know them, Brother Jesse, Brother Keon, Brother Derek, and, you know, just really doing positive things. Sister Sudan, you're talking about your daughters with the harp, and, you know, and just all of us. This is what we want. We want to stop seeing all this sorrow and all this anxiety, mm-hmm. and it's something that we have to do. That's all I'm saying. You know, as a lawyer coming into the court, if I haven't prepared my case and prepared my witnesses and did the research, I'm definitely not going to get the outcome. You know, if my client in a Child Protective Services case doesn't have support, she doesn't have someplace to live. Go ahead, bear witness, Sandera. If she doesn't have certain things in place, you know, the likely outcome of her getting her children is low. But then the sad thing is that we want the children to have better anyway, you know.
Right.
We just,
right.
We're tired of this enemy blaming us. This is what they call it, victim shaming. You know, always shaming the victims. We were the ones tortured and enslaved and, you know, so this is why the Muslims say we separation. We know that's a solution, the only solution. But, you know, taking control of our communities and some of these outcomes is another part of that. So we're down to our last minutes. And so does anybody have anything they want to add? I thank you all for coming on tonight, talking about families needing support, you know.
May I share
about that? Go right ahead. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, sister, did you want to speak?
You go right ahead, Sister Sudan.
Oh, yes, ma'am. I just wanted to say one thing. In order for us to bridge this gap, I think communication is the key, because our children, who are the future, if they don't trust you, that's it. You lost them. And I had to learn, and I'm learning. I'm a student. I had to change my language even when talking to my children, because there's a lot of young people in my community. I love them. So when they, you know, engage, we conversate, I'm learning to become a great listener and engage them in such a way where if they say things, even if maybe I don't agree with it, I'll say things like, let me be sure that I heard what you said. You know, things like that. They're like, wow, he's really listening. Yeah. Can you explain it to me? Okay, I got it. So now they want to come back and talk to me, because everyone wants to be heard and everyone wants to feel important.
Yeah.
That's right.
I say.
Because I just want to say one sentence. Because remember how we were. You know, this is the real issue. A lot of times the hypocrisy with us as you know, older adults, we came down this road before and made bunches of mistakes.
That's right.
But the communication was a little, you know, we sometimes were blessed to have people who say, babe, don't worry, I made a mistake before. Just do better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I heard the Honorable Elijah Muhammad say, and again, this for us as Muslims, but I heard him say, I was blessed by Allah to hear him say, you know, the devil's got you taking off your clothes. This was on an old lecture that he did, and he was just talking about how, when you know, sometimes we wear these clothes that, like the Sudan say, the skirt, I keep pulling it down, or, you know, mad because somebody's flirting with you too hard, or, you know, whatever. So, you know, but that wisdom of our elders, a grandfather or our father, what'd y'all say? We said aunties. What'd you call it, Sister Mama Sonia? What were those speaking relatives
them.
Called? Them.
Mama
yeah,
them.
Mama them. Yeah, Mama
no,
them.
Mama them.
Mama them. The NIM.
But that's just for our village, Pam. That's all it speaks
that's
to. It's just all keeping our village strong and viable. But I want to just leave with this prayer, y'all, before we get out. It came to my heart. But affirmation that I got is life is hard, but God provides. Life is unpredictable, but our God guides. Life is unfair, but God cares. Life is always a challenge, but our God sustains. Ashe.
Ashe, ashe.
Ashe.
That's beautiful. Thank you. You know, and as we're closing out as well, we talk about the strength is unity. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad in Message to the Black Man said the unity of the 22 million, that was, I think, a chapter. And it just talks about how there's strength in not fearing and there's strength in love. You know, and as we talk about the right to control our children's upbringing and make decisions, you know, I do have to just say in closing, you know, and everybody doesn't necessarily feel the same, but we do want to just look at the fact that make proper decisions about your children's health as well. You know, they say there's no emergency need to justify, and this is in the final call this week, there's no emergency need to justify authorizing an experimental vaccine for use in children 6 months to 4 years of age. And so we really want to make sure that parents feel like they are informed and they can make decisions regarding their children. And so that's something that I really wanted to bring up because it is in the final call this week. It's very important, Black people. Yeah. And this goes with your schoolwork. It goes with your choice of school. It goes with what you teach your child. True history, if they can't teach it in the schools, make sure you teach it at home. Like Sister Mama Sonia is saying, you know, make sure those children are getting arts and drawing and creativity and singing and dancing and the ability to love themselves. So we're going to go ahead and close out our show. And I want to thank you all for listening. Please tune in to this upcoming Thursday. We have a special Savior's Day show on Sister Minister Ava, The Elevated Places, and it marks the 10th year anniversary. So please tune in Thursday. It'll be a live Zoom show. Sister Sudan, I want to thank you so much for coming on our show. Sister Mama Sonia, thank you. Sister Sandera, thank you. I want to remind us all that this weekend the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan will be speaking, and that's on Sunday from Mas Mariam, and you can tune in to noi.org. I believe the lecture is entitled The Swan Song, and this is the first time that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has really spoken since I know the criterion. But please go to noi.org for more information regarding hearing that message. And I would like to thank the team, the Elevated Places team, for helping put this show on. Sister Samaya Muhammad is my producer. We also have, of course, Sister Minister Dr. Ava Muhammad, who is the actual Elevated Places Network, and her team, Brother Terrence Muhammad, Sister Donna Muhammad, Sister Rona Muhammad. And again, please tune in on Thursdays to Ask Dr. Ava. So I guess that brings an end to our show tonight. Again, thank you all for listening, and let's go and do better. Communication, I think, is one of our big takeaways. Communication.
Yes.
Ashe. Yes, ma'am.
Stay, Ashe.
All right. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
With that being said, I thank you all once again, and assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam.